We do welcome you tonight to our service, and we trust the Lord's blessing will be upon our coming together in his name this evening. Could I remind you of the baskets at the exits for your offerings as you leave? We appreciate your giving to the Lord's work. Tonight, afterwards, we meet around the Lord's table. It's for those who know and love the Savior. If you know and love Christ, you're welcome. It's not the table of this church. It's the Lord's table for the Lord's people, and we encourage you, if you can, to wait with us, if you know the Lord as your Savior, for the communion service tonight. On Monday night, there's a graduation and commencement service for our college in the Bethany Church in Portadown. This is by invitation only, but it's being streamed live from the church in Portadown there in Sermon Otto, so you can pick it up on tomorrow night. We trust you'll be able to join in for that service. Remember, the students who are commencing and those who are finishing and those who are continuing in the college at this time. And then Tuesday night in our church hall, the Bible study and prayer meeting, and we're continuing to look at the subject of prayer, and we're at that on this night, this Tuesday night again, for the Bible study and prayer meeting. It is especially for our families. We remember the families and the need in our families for salvation and God's working. So remember that, please, along with many other things we will pray for on Tuesday evening. Thursday, there's a church committee meeting. If you have any items, do please send them in for that, for the agenda, and followed by meeting of Kirk session. And then next Lord's Day, the Sunday school continues. It will be an open Sunday school again with this time Mr. Andrew McMullen, who's coming to speak at our morning service. He will be speaking at the open Sunday school. He is working with CEF among children in County Monaghan. He's a member of committee in our Clare Valley Free Presbyterian Church, and a good fellow, Andrew. So he's coming along to speak to the children at the Sunday school, and then he'll be at our Missionary Sunday, which is 11:30 morning service. He will be speaking, and again, he'll speak to the children as well, and he will bring a report of his work. And then there'll be a retiring offering, a separate basket at the door to help with his support. And then in the evening time, Miss Christina Logan, who's a children's evangelist, she will be along to speak. She works with our mission board, and she's been with us before. She will be speaking in the evening time, and her sister, Mrs. Vivian McCoy, will be singing. Remember the season of prayer prior to the evening service in the youth room from 6:20 to 6:45. You remember the sicknesses in the congregation, the ongoing treatment for Mary. She's through two treatments now. Continue to remember her at the throne of grace. Remember Aaron McBurney as she has to go for surgery. Pray that this surgery will take place soon, and do pray that the Lord will undertake. And there are others who've gone through treatments and consultations. Do please remember them as well. If any can help, and there's been some volunteers for the parent and toddlers, we appreciate that. Children's meeting, Awana, youth work, we do need more help if we are to start. And of course, as we start, hopefully that can be happening in the weeks ahead. But we're monitoring all these things, and we're always looking for extra volunteers. We appreciate those who have responded and those who have helped in the past. Maybe not as able now to do it, and some cannot do it anymore. But we trust that you will volunteer if you can for these works, if you have some time in your hands. Also organised by our Youth Council, there's a bi-monthly Bible study in our Lisburn Church. It's this Saturday night at 7:30, and it's dealing with various challenges facing young people today for ages 16 to 29 years. Remember also the Consider Christ stand at Balmoral Show this week. It's the stand number is EK9. If you're at the Balmoral Show, maybe you could look in on them there and give them sort of support as they do that witness for the Lord. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make this evening. We're going to join in the singing of a hymn. It's on the screen. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way, prepare us a dwelling place. There, 592. It's on the screen. Keeping our seats, and then we'll stand if you're able to stand for prayer.
Thank you.
Just remember in our prayers tonight, we just heard before we came into the service that Reverend Malcolm Patterson, our missionary in Kenya, has lost his mother. So do remember our brother Malcolm, his family at this time, that God will comfort them at this their time of loss. Our loving God and our gracious Father, tonight we thank Thee that we can come into Thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, as we come to Thee tonight, we thank Thee that we can cast all our cares upon Thee, casting all Your care upon Him, for He careth for You. And Father, at this time we do pray that You'd meet our need for this service and that You'd bless us, O God, with Thy presence. We thank You for Your help already given this morning. We thank Thee for being with us in the Sunday school and for Thy word that went forth there faithfully. And we pray that You'll bless it to the hearts of the boys and girls. And Father, we pray again tonight as we come in the gospel that Thou wilt work, O God, that Thou wilt speak and that Thou wilt move tonight, that Thou wilt answer prayer. And we pray that the Spirit of God would come even upon this service. And grant that we may be conscious of the Lord and of His presence and of His power as we preach Your word. And then afterwards, as Thy people, as we gather around Your table to remember Your death, we pray that, Lord, our hearts will be encouraged and blessed of the Lord. We pray tonight, Father, for those in particular need in our congregation, Lord, who have illnesses. Well, we pray for them tonight. We remember Mary, she goes through her ongoing treatment. We pray for help for her. We pray, our God and Father, that You would remember also at this time, Irene, as she waits for, Lord, this surgery. We pray that Thou wilt be with her and that Thou wilt undertake in the situation. And we pray that she may know the healing touch of God. We pray for Catherine, Nessie's daughter, too, as she continues, Lord, to negotiate through her illness, that Thou wilt be with her and that Thou wilt touch her at this time. We pray, our God and Father, that You'll remember, too, this family we've heard of tonight. Our brother, Reverend Patterson, his mother taken. Lord, we pray for comfort and for grace, even at this time, in that family, in the midst of loss. We think of many others, O God, affected by this virus and other illnesses. We pray for healing. We think of our brother Eric here, and his dear wife in hospital. We remember Florence tonight. We pray for Thy touch upon her. And Lord, that Thou wilt draw near to Eric and comfort him and the family at this time. We remember his friend Jimmy, who's lost his wife. Lord, comfort Jimmy and draw his heart to Thee, even through his bereavement at this time. Lord, we pray for others that we know about and, Lord, we've heard about. We thank Thee for answers to prayer for some. Continue to answer to prayer for others. Think of our sister Elizabeth Kelly there in Dunmurry in ICU. Remember her, Lord. We pray that Thou wilt touch Elizabeth. And Lord, that Thou wilt, Lord, heal her and restore her. Remember her husband and the family at this time. Remember Reverend Goods, Lord. We thank Thee he's home from hospital. Continue to touch him. And Lord, bless his wife and family. Remember his dad so ill in Australia. We pray for Thy touch upon him. Most of all, that Thou wilt save him. O God, answer prayer tonight. Bless the work of the church. You know the various challenges we face, even in starting things up. We pray for guidance in all of these things. And we pray that we'll be able to get things going again safely in the weeks and months ahead. We do commend it all to Thee. Thank You for those who volunteer to help in various aspects of the work. And we pray for more volunteers, that others will feel that they have a few hours available, certain times they can help out. We pray that they will come on board and become helpers in the work of the Lord. Remember our brother David Foster too. We pray for David tonight that You'll touch him, that You'll heal him. Lord, that You would restore him to health and strength, that he will know Your hand upon him even tonight. And his wife, that she may know Thy blessing. Answer prayer and be with us, we pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. A reading together from the Word of God tonight is some verses in the book of Revelation in chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We're reading from this portion of God's Word tonight. We're coming in
at verse 22 and reading into chapter 22, Revelation 21, verse 22, and then reading into chapter 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, was of the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither night of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. We know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We're going to sing another hymn, 596 in the book. It's on the screen. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy that I shall wake within the palace of the King. Keeping our seats, and then we'll stand for prayer before we bring the word. Our loving God and gracious Father, we turn now to Thee in the closing moments of our service. We pray for help from heaven and power from the sanctuary of God as we preach Thy word tonight. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to the final verses of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. The subject tonight is heaven. What a wonderful place of escape. You know, people are always looking for a place to escape. You may sometimes watch a program on television, Escape to the Country, and you may be interested in all those fine places that people are looking to buy for hundreds of thousands of pounds. But people are looking for exciting vacation packages, or maybe it is the buzzword now, staycation. And they're looking for a place to get away from it all. And you can understand that, of course, in the society in which we live. The enticing options are endless. Places for pressure-packed people to get away from the stresses and the tensions of life. We live in a very fast-paced society that we need to get away from the daily grind to rest, the heavy demands, the problems we face, the pressing deadlines, the pressure cooker of life. And maybe even as you listen tonight, you're feeling that within your own situation. But guess what? You cannot get away from it all and remain in this world. No matter where you try to escape, you carry your baggage with you. You can pack your bags and go for a relaxing weekend or a relaxing couple of weeks on a trip. But you still fold up your stress in those same bags. You carry it all with you. And before you reach your destination and unpack, your pressures are already there ahead of you. You cannot get away from it. There's only one place where we can escape from all of the problems, from all of the pressures, from all of the hassle that we face in this world. And you ask tonight, where is such a place? And that place is called heaven. Whatever it is that you long to escape from, heaven is the only place you can escape from it. Everybody's trying to get away. But only heaven allows us that place of respite, that place of relief, that place of rest that we so desperately need. As we come to look at these final verses of Revelation, John the Apostle is careful under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, to describe for us what will not be in heaven. That may sound negative tonight, but it is, as we look at Scripture here, intensely positive. Heaven will be heaven as much for what will not be there as for what is there. And having told us what and who will be there, the Apostle tells us what and who will be missing. What a wonderful place of escape. As we look at these verses tonight, we discover that there will be no sanctuary in heaven. Look at verse 22 of this portion of Scripture, Revelation 21. And what it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Earlier in the book of Revelation, John described the special inner chamber of Revelation 11:19. The temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The Holy of Holies, you see, was the innermost room in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant resided. And here is the innermost room of heaven, the throne room. The temple was the center of God's presence, the primary place of worshiping God, the permanent abode of the Shekinah glory of God. And the temple in heaven serves as the throne room of God, where he administers the affairs of this world, where he dispatches his angels or his messengers to carry out his executive orders. Earlier in Revelation, John wrote further about this heavenly temple. For example, chapter 14, verses 15 and 17. 14th chapter of Revelation, verses 15 and 17. And he speaks here and says, "Another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come to reap, for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle." And so the temple is mentioned here. The heavenly temple, chapter 14, you'll find it again, chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, and chapter 16, verse 17. But now John observes here in chapter 21, verse 22, that there will be no heavenly temple. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Why is that? Because God himself is now the temple in the midst of heaven. And what is the significance of there being no temple? Or as we have put it, no sanctuary in heaven. Well, let's understand that no temple is required because God's glory is everywhere in the midst of heaven. It is everywhere in view. It is everywhere visible. There God himself will dwell amongst his people in direct, immediate communion. In heaven, God is the temple, meaning the entire city of God contains his immediate presence, and how wonderful that is. As we think of it as children of God tonight, God's glory is manifested everywhere in the New Jerusalem. And throughout all eternity, all the citizens of the heavenly city will forever enjoy immediate access to God, unbroken fellowship with Jesus Christ. Throughout history, God has sought to do one primary thing, to cause men to see and experience and to enjoy his glory. This began, of course, in the Garden of Eden. Way back there in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve lived in the presence of God in the midst of paradise. They lived there specifically with the Shekinah glory of God manifested as glorious light within the Garden of Eden. But Adam and Eve sinned. The fall took place. And they were cut off from God's glory. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, the book of Genesis in the third chapter, in the verse 14, "Because thou hast done this," he said to the serpent, "thou art cursed above all cattle and above all the beasts of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go." And we discover in verse 24, he drove out the man out of the Garden of Eden. and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so man, because of his sin, was cut off from God's glory. And from that point on, God had initiated different ways to get man to see his glory. In the wilderness, you remember Moses, that servant of God, in Exodus 33 and 18, he asked to see God's glory. I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory. And God caused his glory to pass before Moses while his servant hid in a rock. Why did he hide in a rock? Because no man can see the full glory of God and live. And after seeing merely the afterglow of God's glory, Moses' face glowed like the noonday sun. When the Israelites moved about in the wilderness, they were led by a cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. The Shekinah glory of God. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. When the tabernacle was built, in Exodus 40, verse 34, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And later on, when Solomon was directed to build the temple, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, God's glory filled the temple. But later on, we discover, when the temple was turned into a place of idolatry, God's glory departed from it. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 10 and Ezekiel chapter 11. Ichabod was written across the temple door, meaning the glory had departed. 1 Samuel 4 verse 21. The glory of God was gone. One more time, God revealed his glory to man when Jesus Christ became man in his incarnation. He became the embodiment of the Shekinah glory of God. The Bible tells us there in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 18, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But Jesus was crucified and ascended into heaven to the right hand of the Father. The Bible teaches us that in Acts chapter 1. Verses 9 to 11. And that's where God's glory resides, in heaven. The glory of God in the celestial city, heaven itself. And the Bible tells us when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again to this earth, he will come in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And until then, the glory of God is displayed in Christ's body, the church. Ephesians 3, 19 to 21. And in this present age, God calls us as his people, as part of his church, to manifest his glory to a watching world. At the present time, God's glory is now fully displayed around his throne in heaven. As Christ is enthroned at God's right hand, the throne room or the heavenly temple is that place of his greatest glory. Remember when Stephen was martyred? In Acts chapter 7, verse 55, he looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He saw the glory of God in heaven. What a wonderful sight that was for Stephen as he gave his life for the cause of Christ. And that's where God's Shekinah glory resides now, in heaven, in God's presence, in the temple. In heaven where Christ is. And so over the course of time, to summarize, God's glory has been displayed in various ways in the Garden of Eden, in the face of Moses, in the sky with the cloud and the pillar of fire and the tent or the tabernacle that God's people had set up there. In the building, the temple itself. It was erected by Solomon in Christ, in the church, his body. But most of all, It is revealed in heaven. In the heavenly temple. I saw no temple, said John. And so whenever we go to heaven, we will be in the immediate presence of the full glory of God. And wherever we go in heaven, we will enjoy that glory for all of God's eternity. Think of your loved ones who have gone there, friend. That's what they're enjoying tonight. And that's what is their unending joy. The glory of heaven. Throughout all eternity. We will never be separated from the direct, unhindered fellowship of God. What a wonderful place heaven is. Place of wonderful escape. From this veil of tears. And from all the troubles and trials. And burdens that we have to bear in this world. There's no sanctuary there because the Lord is the temple. And then I want you to see, secondly, there's no sun. Verse 23, you know, there's people who love the sun. And maybe you're one of those people that love the sun and you like to see the sun coming out and you're a sun worshiper. You like the sun. Of course, the sun is very important as far as this world is concerned. But there'll be no sun in the eternal celestial city, because the glory of the Lord will be the source of all uncreated light. His glory is so bright, there will be no need of any artificial light. The sun and the moon will be snuffed out, never to shine again. Their services will not be needed in heaven. The Bible tells us that in verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, all life on this earth, people and animals and plants, depends upon the energy that comes from the sun. Plants use sunlight to make their own food, and in the process give off oxygen. So vitally important. People and animals eat the plants and breathe in that oxygen. In turn, we breathe out carbon dioxide, which plants combine with energy from the sunlight and water from the soil and produce food. This is incredible, isn't it? How valuable the sun is. How vital the sun is. But God will snuff out the sun. This huge blazing star will be extinguished by the Lord the way you would blow out a birthday candle. It's like that. God will snuff out the sun. The sun will cease forever. Verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. The light of the glory of God. And how marvelous, my friend, and how magnificent that is. The new creation will be lighted by the Shekinah glory of God, that light that blazed from the face of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 4, will be the sole illumination in the heavenly Jerusalem. We will walk, dear friends, in the light of His countenance. And consequently, there will be no night. There will be no darkness. There'll be no shadows in the eternal state. Only one bright, constant daytime. Look at verse 5 of Revelation 22. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And throughout the word of God, darkness represents evil and ignorance of the knowledge of God. But light pictures holiness and the personal knowledge of God. And because there will be only the light of God's glory in heaven, this picture, my friend, for us, the full knowledge of God will be ours in His presence. What a wonderful thing this is. There'll be no sun in heaven. You'll not need to get out the sun lounger. You'll not need to put on the sun cream. No, friend. the Lord's glory. The Lord will lighten heaven. And then the third thing is, there'll be no self-glory. You see, heaven is the place where Christ alone is given the preeminence. He alone is to be worshipped. Look at verses 24 to 26 of Revelation 21. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. A remnant of the nations, once pagan and rebellious, now also in heaven, since they have been converted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ during their days on earth. The kings of the earth, verse 24, represent the nations that they once led and governed. All these believing saints come into the New Jerusalem to worship Him, to give Him glory. These kings, which had once been the objects of homage upon this earth, now give their homage to the Lord Jesus Christ. They give their honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the mightiest man of the earth will bow before His throne. You remember following the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ sometime later, in fact, because He was a young child at that stage, in Matthew chapter 2, those wise men came from the east to worship the King. And they brought their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And the worship of the wise men will be repeated over and over throughout all eternity. The one-time mighty kings of the earth and all the converted nations with them will bring their glory and honor and treasures into the holy city to offer their worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has written, perfect praise will be the highest and noblest expression of our perfected being. We will recognize the splendor of God. We will see clearly His glory and perfection. And gazing on God's perfections eternally will compel us to offer uninterrupted and unrestrained, adoring, loving worship. He will be our delight for all eternity. He will be our praise for all eternity. Oh, what a day that will be, friend, when we enter into the joy of our Lord, into that wonderful city. But the fourth thing is, there'll be no sin in heaven. Look at verse 27, Revelation 21. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know, sin is everywhere in this world tonight. But there's no sin in heaven. There's nothing unclean will ever come into heaven. There will be nothing unclean in us when we enter into heaven. In our glorified state, we will be fully conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you cannot fully grasp that tonight, but that is indeed what is going to be the case. All indwelling sin will be completely eradicated. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and the verse 30, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, and listen to the words, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. We will be glorified. That's it, friend. Glorified. We will be made perfect and complete. Only then will we fully reflect the glory of our Creator. We shall be like the Lord. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We shall be like the Lord. Like Him. Gutzon Borglum, the sculptor, was carving a statue of a head. A woman who regularly swept his studio wondered who he was sculpting.
One day he finally realized who the image was. It was obvious now. The master sculptor was carving the face of President Abraham Lincoln in marble. Very much surprised, he turned to him and inquired, "How did you know that Mr. Lincoln was in that piece of stone?" To which he responded, "That's simple. I just chisel away everything that doesn't look like the present." And that's what God is doing in our lives, my friend. He's carving us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today our likeness to Christ may not be as close as we would like it to be. I'm sure all of us here tonight would have to admit that. There are many imperfections, many blemishes. But one day in heaven, when we step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, all sin will be removed from us, resulting in perfect Christ-likeness. We will be made fully in His image. And further, there'll be nothing unclean around us. We will be in a world that is spiritually clean from the pollution of all sin. How sin grieves us as we look at it today. The wickedness of man is great in the earth, and we're grieved by sin and depravity all around us. Day by day, a world polluted by sin. Wherever we look, we see it. Right across society, among all ages, in our cities, in our towns, in our villages, even in our country districts. Across the continents of the world. But in heaven, there's no sin. We'll never need to confess sin in heaven. We'll never need to apologize again. Never need to straighten out a strained relationship. Never need to resist Satan again. Never need to resist temptation. Never, never. Why? Because there's no sin. There's no sin in heaven. And then, my friend, there's no sinners in heaven. No sinners will be admitted into heaven. Look at verse 27 again. Verse 27 of chapter 21. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Anyone whose lifestyle on this earth is considered as abomination or who worketh a lie will never enter into heaven. This refers to those who constantly practice these evils. It describes the direction and pattern of one's life, not merely isolated acts of sin, but reveals that they were never converted, they were never saved. Abomination refers to all types of sinful perversions, literally pollution. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? No polluted mouth will be admitted into heaven. No polluted mind will enter in. No polluted hands will be permitted. Instead, for the abominable, their part will be the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8, that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Lying refers to unbelievers who spread false teaching, who bear false witness. Only those whose names are in the Lamb's book of life will enter into heaven. No sinners will enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not saved tonight, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. No unsaved person will enter. I don't care how many good works you have done, or how many times you've attend a church, or how much you've given to a church, or how many good works you've done in other aspects of life, or how many sermons you've listened to, many times you've helped your neighbor. Your name's not written in the Lamb's book of life. You'll not be in heaven, friend. That's what my Bible teaches. It's the unchanging word of the unchanging God. Lest there be any doubt in our minds, Paul speaks emphatically in Ephesians 5, verse 5, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Heaven is an exclusive place. It is not for everyone. And sadly, there are preachers who have at funeral services said this person and that person has gone to heaven. And I've sat even with members of this church and come out into the graveyard and thought, and some people actually in this church have said to me, "Mr. Smiley, that wasn't the same person I knew. Yet they're put into heaven." Friend, you'll not be in heaven unless you're saved. Not be in heaven unless you're saved. These ministers have a sin to answer for. Putting people into heaven that died having no time for the gospel and died without Christ. Having no viable profession of faith. Heaven belongs to those, John says, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lamb's Book of Life is heaven's register of everyone who has believed in Christ with saving faith. They alone will enter through its gates. Revelation 22 verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those that do his commandments will enter through the gates of the city. Do you know Christ personally tonight? Are you saved? Are you blood washed tonight? Are you heaven bound? One evening a woman was driving home when she noted in her mirror that a huge truck was driving full blast behind her, uncomfortably close. The headlights were shining in her rear view mirror, blinding her eyes. She increased her speed, but to no avail. The faster she drove, the faster the lorry drove. Reaching the panic point, the woman turned into a service station, threw open the door and ran across the forecourt, screaming for help. The lorry driver jumped from his cab and ran toward her. He opened the back door of her vehicle and pulled out a man who was hidden in her back seat. You see, the woman had been running from the wrong person. Unknown to her, the lorry driver had spotted a would-be rapist in the back seat of her car. The chase was not his effort to harm her. His pursuit was intended to save her, even at the cost of his own safety. His desire was to help that woman escape from somebody who was going to harm and hurt her. And many people are like that lady. They run from God, fearing he might do them harm. But if they would only stop running from God, he would give them their escape from what truly threatens to harm them: Satan, sin and death. Second death. Heaven is the great escape, my friend. It is the great escape. Only there will we escape sin, because we will be glorified. We will escape disease because we will have perfected bodies. We will escape stress because we will enter into God's rest. Isn't that wonderful? We will escape conflict because we will receive God's peace. We will escape boredom because we will worship the thrice holy sovereign God of heaven. We will escape loneliness because we will have come into the general assembly and church of the firstborn. What a place. No words of mine tonight, tonight or any other time, could fully describe this dwelling place of God. It's a perfect place where we will escape every conceivable imperfection. Everyone is looking for that vacation, for that place where we can get away from it all. But only heaven delivers, my friend. What a wonderful place of escape. Make sure you're going there. Make your reservation tonight. Make your reservation for heaven tonight by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, by taking him tonight as your Savior, trusting in his finished work. Will you do that tonight? I pray that God will help you to do it, even now, for his name's sake. Amen.
May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to the hearts of those that have heard tonight. We pray that they may hear, that their souls might live. And O God, as we get a glimpse of this wonderful place called heaven, that our hearts will be encouraged and blessed, strengthened tonight. As your people, and for those that are not saved, be brought to saving faith in Christ tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at this wonderful hymn on the screen. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Some of you are out of Christ, held by many a snare. Can it leave you lost and lone? We want you over there. We'll sing the hymn as we remain seated, and we'll have the closing prayer. And then if you must leave, of course, we understand. But if you're staying for communion, just stay where you are in your seat and remain with us for the time around the Lord's table tonight. Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.